Our scripture reading is John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus.
In 1992, Al Pacino played Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade in a movie called Scent of a Woman. And the thing about Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade was that he was blind. And because he was blind, his other senses were heightened. And one of the characteristics Lieutenant Colonel Slade is that he could identify a woman's perfume from across the room. Well, you wouldn't need to be Lieutenant Colonel Slade in order to recognize the perfume that is poured out in the passage that Claude just read. It says that this expensive ointment made from pure nard, with which Mary anointed Jesus' feet, that the fragrance filled the entire house. I just want to say a couple of things about this passage this evening. The first is, when did this happen? Now, some people think that this happened on Sunday night, and some people think that it happened on Monday night. And we're not really sure. It says 6 days before Passover, but if you've studied the scriptures, you know that sometimes when they say a number of days, it doesn't necessarily mean the same way in which we count days. But nevertheless, this happened during Passion Week. And Jesus was moving back and forth between Bethany and Jerusalem as he prepared to go to the cross to die and to be resurrected. I just want to notice for us to notice three things this evening. The first is that Mary discards her pride. The second is that Mary discerns Christ's death. And the third is that Mary demonstrates faith in Christ. First, Mary discards her pride. I just want you to take a second. I know that I'm talking to you through a screen, and I'm talking to you in your living room or wherever, or your phone, wherever you are. But I just want you to take a second and think about how awkward this situation is. We can go ahead and admit that this is an extremely awkward situation. Imagine, hopefully very soon, when we can be back together, that we're all together in Trinity Hall, right? And it's a Wednesday night, it's a midweek, and we're all together. And someone were to walk into that room where everyone is eating and fellowshipping, and they were to begin doing what Mary is doing here. They begin to take out a large and expensive vessel of perfume, and they break it open, and they begin to anoint someone, and they begin to their feet, and they begin to wash their feet or wipe their feet with their hair. And just imagine what that would be like for you as a bystander. Some of you even now might be imagining it and say, "I don't want to imagine that. I don't want to imagine how awkward that is." This is awkward, right? And in order for Mary to do this, she would have had to discard her pride. And one of the unique things about Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, is that every time that we read about her in the scriptures, we read about her at Jesus' feet. In Luke 10:39, the most famous passage about Martha and Mary, Martha is scurrying about, worrying about chores. And where is Mary? She's sitting at Jesus' feet. In John 11:32, when Lazarus dies and Jesus comes back to Bethany, it says that Mary ran out to meet him and she fell at his feet. And then in this passage, we have her washing his feet or wiping his feet with her very hair. But what this says about Mary is that she was in a posture of humility toward Jesus Christ. The very opposite of pride, right? What does pride say? Pride looks at God and says, "You owe me." Some of you, not in here, obviously, that's probably going to happen again. But some of you who are listening to me right now, maybe things have been very difficult for you over a long period of time, over the past couple of weeks. But in pride, oftentimes when we face hard situations, we will say, "I deserve better than this." We look at God and we say, "I deserve more than this." We're like that older brother, right? In the story of the prodigal son, we say, "You did this and this for the younger brother, but look at all these things that I've done, and I deserve this." Or maybe you've had a very good time. The boundary lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. You have lived what they call a charmed life. And even then, if that's your situation, we still react to God in pride many times. We look at the things that have happened to us and the things that we've achieved, and we say, "I deserve this." And it doesn't matter if your pride is coming from a sense of being wronged by God, or if your pride is coming from a sense that you are better than other people or you've accomplished more than other people. I want you to see that Mary discards her pride. You can't be prideful and walk into a room and wipe someone's dirty feet with your hair. Can't do it. Mary's act, pride says to God, "You owe me." And Mary's act says to Christ, "I owe you everything." The second point is that Mary discerns Christ's death. And we shouldn't be surprised that she discerned this before the disciples. I believe that women's intuition is a real thing. But it's not just simply women's intuition that is at play here. Why does Mary do this outlandish thing? She does it because she's anointing Jesus Christ for death. She recognizes what's about to happen to Jesus. She's following Jesus out of an appreciation and love for what she knows Jesus will do for her. There's a lot of ways to follow Jesus. Maybe you follow Jesus out of nostalgia. It'd be really easy to do in Montgomery, honestly. You follow Jesus because it's just what you've always done. It was the way that you were raised. Maybe you follow Jesus out of bargaining. You think, "If I scratch God's back, then God will scratch mine. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to come to church every now and again. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to do the bad sins. And I'm going to scratch God's back, and he's going to scratch mine." And you're bargaining with God. Or maybe you're following God out of a sense of guilt. You know that you're sinful. But like the man who owed 10,000 talents in Jesus' parable, you think, you're saying to yourself in vain, "Just give me some time and I'll make it up to you. I'll pay it back. I'll take care of it." I don't know how you're trying to follow Jesus Christ, but if you're trying to do it in the three ways that I've just described, it's kind of like trying to straighten a paperclip. I don't even know if the camera's going to pick this up, but I tried to straighten a paperclip. It's, as you can see, it's not very straight. It's very hard to straighten a paperclip. Even if I gave you a lot of time, it would be very difficult to get out the little bumps that were already there when the piece of metal was originally bent. You can never get it quite straight. And even if you gave it all of your effort, if you worked very hard at it, right? More than likely, before you get it straight, what's going to happen is you're going to break it. It's going to break. And if you are trying to follow God through nostalgia, because it's what you've always done, or if you're trying to follow God because of guilt, or if you're trying to follow God because of bargaining, you're going to end up broken like this paper clip. You can't do it. You can't do it. Instead, Mary shows us how we discern Christ's death, how we follow God, because living for Christ is not a mechanism to gain his approval. Living for Christ is a recognition of what he has done for you. Something that you could never do. Thirdly, Mary demonstrates faith. So first, she discards her pride. Secondly, she discerns Christ's death. And then lastly, Mary demonstrates faith. I don't know why I'm doing so many visuals tonight, I guess, because, I don't know, I've never preached to a television before or to a camera. But do you see this glass of water? I'm not going to ask you whether it's half full or half empty, so don't worry about that. What do you think this weighs? And since I won't be able to hear you, feel free to guess whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. I would guess that it weighs, you know, a number of ounces, somewhere between 5 and 20 maybe. And by the way, I'm terrible at estimating weights. But what do you think, how long do you think I could hold this cup up above my head like this? Do you think I could hold it for 5 minutes, for 10, for an hour, for 2 hours? If I were to do that, what would happen to my hand? Well, I'd start to, my blood would not flow through my arm, right? It wouldn't flow as well, and my hand would begin to get cold and numb, and my muscles would tense up. And what if I were to try to hold it up over my head for a whole day? Now, let me ask you something. Is this cup getting heavier? No, it's not. It still weighs the same. In fact, with evaporation, it might even weigh slightly less. But the longer that I try to hold it up, the harder it is to hold, despite the fact that the weight never changes. Now, let me ask you a question. What are you trying to hold up? What is your cup? What is your glass that you're trying to hold up? What are you saying, I can't let go of this because I can't trust God with this because what if something bad happens? What if a little bit gets spilled? What if it's not put the right way? What if something gets dropped into it? What are you holding up and saying, I have to take care of this? No one else can, and I can't trust God with it. Mary demonstrates faith because she places her financial well-being in Christ's hands. Her financial well-being. This is expensive stuff. 300 denarii, that's a year's wages. A year's wages that she wastes, according to Judas Iscariot. She places her financial well-being in Jesus' hands. She places her social standing in Jesus' hands. Everyone that she knows in this small town is looking at her as she wipes this man's feet with her hair. Imagine what they thought of her, how they might have scoffed at her or rolled their eyes. She places her other people's estimation of her in Jesus' hands. And Mary placed her very life in Jesus' hands. By discarding her pride and discerning his death, she's placing her very life in his hands. Here's what I want to tell you this evening on Holy Monday. That Jesus Christ's hands are strong enough to hold whatever you want to give him. Are you afraid about this virus? I'll tell you the truth. I had to get on my roof yesterday, 2 days ago, to clean out something. And when I got ready to get off the roof, I decided that the safest thing was to jump off because I couldn't get the ladder. Anyway, I'd had the wrong ladder. Don't do this. But as I'm getting ready to jump off my roof, which now I realize it's not that far of a fall when you're sitting down and you just drop off. But as I'm getting ready to jump off my roof, here's what's going through my mind. I'm not going to land correctly. I'm going to break my ankle or my leg. I'm going to have to go to the hospital. I'm going to get coronavirus. I'm going to die from coronavirus. My children are going to grow up without a father. My wife is going to be left destitute. All of this is running through my mind, right? All of it. Why? Because if I don't look at Christ, the first place I go is that I've got to hold this cup up. It's all up to me. And what I want to encourage you with tonight is that Jesus Christ can hold your cup. He will not drop it. He will take care of it. It will be in the best hands it can possibly be in. May we have the faith. May God grant us the faith to discard our pride, discern Christ's death, and place our lives in the hands of Jesus Christ. Amen.